This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes escape to Skeld to rest and recover.
I think we may need to regroup. I don't know how the rest of you are feeling, but I myself am rather burned and damaged.
And grapple with the true horror they've encountered.
I hadn't seen any weapons as dangerous as this, nor a person as dangerous as I am, till I came to Skirgard, till I heard tell of the evil that emanates from Skirkava.
But what they encounter when they return.
There's no one else that's going to go up to that mountain and take care of that threat. That's left to us. There's no question about that.
Might be worse than anything they could possibly imagine.
The great evil is here, and dying might not be the worst thing that could happen to us.
The adventure continues.
I suspect it will be easier if I do not return. Tell the others I go off to serve a higher purpose.
Now.
What is going on, everybody? It's your old buddy, Troy, and
your good pal, Joe.
You son of a gun. What are you doing in my intro?
I'm at work, LaValle. Yep. I'll have you know.
Yeah, I'm just coming in to do an intro. Then I got to go sign deals.
Yep, I'll be here for 8 hours while Troy is not. That seems to be the pace so far.
I got
to
hit the beach, man. Got to keep my tan on for Glass Cannon Lives. You think this glow is natural?
Speaking of which, we are packing right now. We're doing this a little early. This is in advance. We're packing for Dallas. I am putting merch into suitcases. We are flying out in 2 days.
This is crazy, man. This is, people are listening to this, and Glass Cannon Live Dallas has already happened.
I know.
But we're just packing for it.
We are. We're just getting ready to go. I'm assuming it was a great show.
I imagine that, like, panties were thrown, and it was mostly Matthew throwing his at us, which is weird that he did that during a live show. But that's okay.
Just from like 2 feet away. Right in your face.
Right in my eye. No, we are very excited because this has been a wild week here.
Crazy, yeah.
For the Glass Cannon Network. Where do we start? We hit the 35K goal. Joe, you are going to be running the Emerald Spire Super Dungeon as a podcast.
So excited, buddy. I brought something to show you.
What is that? Oh, dude. I remember when we got these, I'm like, well, we'll never have to use these.
Yep, I just dropped the entire set of every map of every level of the Emerald Spire.
Holy shit, that
it
looks
is so gorgeous.
So
I got to open it up. I got to get the creases out. We're going to be using these very soon, buddy.
So we're not going to use Fantasy Grounds or Roll 20. You think we're going to use actual pawns and maps?
That's my plan right now. I want to get back to the old school. It is an old school super dungeon. I want to play it old school. So we'll see how it works.
I like it. Maybe we can hire someone just to move us around the map.
Why not? So we're at 35,000.
Let's do it. All right. So we're now hiring for... No, I'm not going to put that out there. So we hit the 35K goal, and we also announced the 40K goal.
Yes. Very excited about this.
This is an old school thing for us. When we started the Twitch... It was just you and I playing Dark Souls 3.
Just me and you hanging out in your apartment. It's really all it was.
That's really what it was. We didn't even have video. It was just our voices just hanging out, goofing off, talking about games, talking about life, and also playing Dark Souls 3.
I haven't been in your apartment in 18 months.
Right, and that's by my wife's choice. She said, keep that filthy bearded man out of our home.
How dare you?
Now that we have
don't
a child.
Don't let her near our son.
Don't let him touch our son. No, but I mean, we're excited to do this for a million reasons. One.
Well, I guess we should say that the goal, the $40,000 goal, is to bring back the Twitches where you and I just get to hang out, play a video game, rag on each other, and hang out with the Nash. Hang out with the chat.
That's really what it's about. This isn't just like a video game stream. This is a chance for us to connect with the Nash on a more personal, off the cuff, unedited level. And that's something we don't get to do anymore.
Yeah, we haven't done it for many, many months. So right. I'm so excited at the prospect of bringing that back.
It's not about, let's show you how good we are at video games. It's about like having conversations with people in the chat while we're playing games about things that are happening in the nation. We can talk about GM stuff. We can talk about gaming stuff. It's really a chance for us to just connect in a new and exciting way.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I mean, we do get some of it with the awesomeness of our after party hangouts at the live shows. And so there is that, but it's just so quick and hurried and it's really fun, but you don't get that kind of regular seeing the same people over and over again over the course of the year and answering questions and talking and getting feedback back live in person, and it's just I'm very excited at the prospect.
Yeah, and you know, Skid and Grant have been keeping it going on Friday nights, which is great. So they get that, but it's going to be nice for us to be able to build that opportunity out here in the studio so that we'll all be able to Twitch from the studio.
Oh, yeah. And not just us either.
Yeah.
Special guest.
Special guest action.
Oh, man.
I can't wait for Matthew Capitacasa's Super Mario Brothers Twitch live from the studio. Sorry, Matthew, you can't go to that play tonight. Need you to Twitch Super Mario Brothers tonight. So we had that, and then, of course, the huge announcement.
The big one.
We're doing not one, but two live shows in Indianapolis during Gen Con.
I mean, it's just amazing to say, like, yeah, I'm playing two nights in Indianapolis in August.
Yep.
It's like, you know, two nights.
We're doing the hi-fi. I mean, this was a big thing for us when we were looking at doing this, because I knew I wanted us to play Gen Con. I knew I wanted us to play a cool rock club. And then it came up, our agent, our amazing agent, Kevin Castor from Paradigm, was like, would you guys want to do two shows? And I think I just vomited immediately, like, no, there's no way we can. Because the show, I can't prepare properly because I don't know what happens in that first show. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do that first show, and then I'm just going to furiously write the next day, and we'll do a second show.
Oh, yeah.
On
you will
Saturday.
Not be at Gen Con the next day.
No,
you will
no,
not
no.
be outside of the hotel room, I don't think.
I'll be at Sun King Brewery, most likely, just crushing. Just
drinking and writing.
Just drinking a couple light beers and writing the Saturday
yeah,
show.
Quote unquote light beers. You're talking about, you know, 8 percenters.
Couple of 7 or 8 percenters just to get in the zone writing that Saturday show. But I mean, we're really excited. This is a huge opportunity for us because, if you've never been to Gen Con, or if you have been to Gen Con, this is a big, big deal in the gaming industry. So for us to do two live shows there, it just allows us to put so many more eyes
yeah.
on the network.
Yeah, and as it is, technically, it's not connected to or related to Gen Con. You don't have to have a Gen Con badge to go to this event or to sign up for tickets for this. But it is through, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but it isn't the promoter that booked the show, a promoter that books all kinds of Gen Con shows
yeah, I'm
in
pretty
the
sure
surrounding area.
Yeah, they book all the shows for the Gen Con.
Exactly. So, and
weekend.
These are people who are like, well, let's see how this does, and then we'll be talking about next year. So it's already planting the seeds for bigger and better stuff down the line at Gen Con, which is something that has been on our radar for years.
Yeah, to be able to do two live shows during that weekend with all gamers from all around the world who may not know who the Glass Cannon Network is, to have that buzz going on that weekend, this is going to hopefully mean bigger and better things as we continue to grow.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we got to continue this march to Tujondo, Joey.
Oh, the march.
Let's do it.
I'm so excited, but I have to get back to work. So let's get the show on the road.
I want those papers on my desk by noon. Here's episode 196, everybody. I like to think of us as a sports team.
I know.
I feel like that's what I think about going in. Like we're in the locker room. Getting ready for the big game. And we play a big game every week. One game a week.
You only have like one metaphor, don't you? You can only conceive of things one way.
Have I used this metaphor before?
No, just like, I feel like your whole ethos is centered around like a sports team.
I don't have an ethos. I go out of my way not to have an ethos. I don't believe in them.
That's an ethos.
Damn it. Get out of my locker room.
Get out of my locker room.
Well, what we
want to throw a
but
chair.
Who are we playing?
Throw a chair like you did earlier.
Yeah, throw
but
a
if
chair,
you're right? If you're a sports
I did throw
team.
A chair yesterday. I know.
We
I saw it.
We saw the video.
It's on video.
You videoed that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I got pretty upset.
Tell the fans what happened, Troy.
Well, here's the thing. I was sitting in it and it collapsed. And the thing is, I'm pretty rough on two things. Chairs and shoes. I'm very rough on shoes.
Yeah, your shoes are always like out of whack.
I don't know what it is. You give me a brand new pair
of
shoes. They look like
hard.
A hobo shoes
you
in
walk
a week. Just walking around on strings. But I was sitting in this chair, and I'm always moving in the chair, and the chair just fucking collapsed. And I hit the ground so hard. And our ground here is not very soft. It's not very forgiving.
It's concrete.
I got so mad, I stood up and I threw that chair halfway across this room.
It's on video.
I had no idea you videoed that. Delete that. that video.
Nope.
It was at a weird angle when I watched it. I looked around the room for like more broken things. I was like, where did he throw it?
It did hit the staircase and the wall pretty hard.
It didn't.
Yeah.
The good news is I put in some really lucrative bets on you to break the chair. Everyone had the money on me because of my size.
It's right. It was Troy, you. Troy's always, he's the low-key favorite for breaking chairs.
Yeah.
He's broken
more furniture than anyone at this table.
I still mourn my Denver Broncos deck chair that you came over and shattered out of somehow. I don't even know how it happened.
In Rise of the Rune Lords once.
Yes.
And shattered your favorite chair and then left.
You and Joe came over. You're really drunk.
Yep.
And
he was playing it.
You had a handle of Sky Vodka in between them.
Yeah.
Sharing it like two hobos.
Just passing it. Yep.
And you sat in the chair and you didn't even do anything. And it just collapsed.
And then we went to your home in Cape Cod and I broke a chair there too.
You broke a table.
I'm just a rough guy. I don't know why.
You nearly broke me.
Well,
it's probably because you're on a sports team.
That's the thing. Going back to that metaphor.
Just FYI.
Going back to my ethos, we like to listen to music before we play because we're getting pumped up in the locker room before tip-off. But we don't listen to like normal hype-up songs. We listen to the Hill Street Blues theme song.
That's right.
That's the last thing we listen to. It's really a Matthew and me thing, but it just makes us giggle. It really, really gets us in the light mood we need to be in.
Just hear those few piano chords.
It really puts you there. We need that drop, but it has to be. We need to look up how long are we allowed to play it before we start getting cease and desists.
It gets you pumped, though.
And then when the saxophone comes in.
It's great. Listen to it.
This reminds me, Dak Prescott, the current quarterback of the Cowboys. We'll see how he does next year.
Never heard of him.
Love him. Anyway, he gets pumped up before games by listening to the albums of Train, including Drops of Jupiter and Hey Soul Sister, which is probably why we haven't won more than one playoff game.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Does it just make him angry? He's just like, fuck this music, and get really like enraged, and that fuels him?
I have no idea. It makes no sense.
I would rather listen to sounds of a train.
Yeah.
You can occasionally.
That would get me way more pumped up.
Yep.
Choo-choo.
I would rather listen to Skid making sounds of a train.
That'd be fun.
I'll do it whenever.
Hey, that's at another Patreon tier.
That's true.
My wife said the other day, she was like, I think Archer's going to grow up really liking trains. And I was like, where are you coming up with this? Like, because of his father's like overwhelming love of trains?
You know, you're always in that back room with the model trains.
It's like, she's like, I don't know why I thought that.
You inherit your love.
Uh-oh, honey. Train's pulling out of the station.
His father loved trains, and his father's father loved trains.
Maybe it's because of your intense OCD. She was like, trains, times tables, Archer.
Trains, he leads
My
us.
Sister bought me for Christmas a train set to like put around the Christmas tree because I had kids. She was like, you should build this and have your kids. And it was the cheapest thing on earth. And when I went to put it together, you could not keep a train on the track and connect it to another train, to another car. It wasn't an option.
The curvature was
Soon as you tried to touch it to another car, they both just fell off every time. And as soon as you started running, they would both just fall off every time. And eventually it just devolved into me flipping out and my wife being like, you need to just put this away. It's Christmas. I was furious.
I can't picture that at
all. I know,
all.
Right? Imagine.
Did
imagine
you throw
that.
The train across the room?
I did. I did. Gotcha. I broke one of the cars. The wheels fell right up. I was like, that's what you get.
Well, if Archer ever does get into trains, you should know that Richard Berger only uses one of his parking spaces in his garage because he has a model town and train set in retirement.
Really?
Oh, that's right.
He
that's
also
right.
uses the garage to cook salmon in a George Foreman grill because he doesn't like how salmon smells in the kitchen.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, he's stinky. A weird guy.
It's a stinky fish. Speaking of stinky fish, I don't have a transition.
I was going to say, where's that going?
But I did bring up a gif here of the Yuki Onna from the video game Neo. This has nothing to do with stinky fish. But look at this. How cool does that look?
There's some glare.
This is one of the bosses in the Neo, and it's great. When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, a Yuki Onna. We did this in Jade Regent, and now we did it here. But this is much more stylized. I think these women that you fought were more like lost souls.
Forlorn.
Yes. Sad. A deep, deep sadness. And now you killed them. Yeah. Well done.
Well, they were dead already.
Well.
They were undead.
They were undead. Incorporeal. And now you are in this trench, this drainage tunnel that you discovered has some sort of embalming fluid running towards the direction you entered. Dalgraith, you stealthed up right before this fight to like a corner, and that's where you heard the wailing, or maybe you backed away and then heard the wailing, but the fight took place in like the main area. Lying before you is this turn in the tunnel heading south.
Dalgraith is going to... He's kind of farthest up of the crew right now. He was fighting the woman when... I think it was Pembroke landed the killing blow, right? With a magic missile. Pretty sure. By his head. Yeah.
A bottle cap worthy magic missile. I mean, I gave Skid a bag of bottle caps after the episode.
One for each. One for each missile.
Now, wait. Do the winds and the snows and all that stuff dissipate? Were they just surrounding them?
They do.
Okay.
I just deleted Feyraza. Sorry, Feyraza.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Feyraza,
what has happened to us?
Terrible foreshadowing.
What's happened to Feyraza?
The winds dissipate and Feyraza's gone.
No. I loved her.
I never got to tell her.
My love.
My sweet Assyrian princess.
I'm embarrassed for all of you. Greatest love story ever told.
That's what it means. Gone with the wind.
You really thought that was going to land.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I blew it.
Someone's laughing.
Someone's laughing at home, right? Right?
Email in if you're laughing.
Colin.
Tweet at us if you're laughing.
If you were laughing just then.
Please tell me if you laughed at that.
Send the time code.
A joke. Laughing makes me know you care.
Literally, every time we get together to record, I want to play that Jim Carrey as Conan O'Brien sketch. Like, oh, right. I can't hear the laughter.
Oh, right, yeah.
So what does your dumb character think?
So once this storm dies down, Dalgraith, yes. Now the spirits, they just disappear, right? And there's just nothing there. Yeah. He's just going to turn around, walk slowly back, just a little shaken by the whole encounter, his inability to really do anything to these creatures, and his sadness at the situation, because he remembered encountering one of these before, in another AP on the Crown of the World, and has been was shooken by the experience. So you see, he's kind of wide-eyed and a little shaken, and he walks back to Feyraza and just sort of hands the blade back, and he's like, "Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't have been more helpful with it." And he hands the dagger back over to you.
Feyraza takes it. "You are very welcome. You'd think we'd be better prepared for incorporeal creatures by now."
"I think we would have been in a tomb and all that."
It would have been nice to have more of these.
"Well, I did a little bit of good of work, I think."
"You were very helpful,
Pembroke. We couldn't have done it without you."
"No, I don't need."
"And in all honesty, you put their spirits to rest, and I thank you for that."
"Well, really, Pembroke, you put Dalgraith to shame."
"Oh, no, please, you're making me blush."
"Of course you did."
No.
"You did, sir.
I wouldn't hear of it. A legend like Dalgraith?" "No."
"Please.
My name doesn't deserve to be mentioned the same breath as Dalgraith's."
"I think you'll find your name is mentioned quite often when we leave this place."
"Ah, my time is long past, but I thank you all the same, most generous."
"Remember, I thought I was to understand that you were quite powerful in your day. Potent,
oh, yes.
Even.
No one remembers the name Pembroke the Potent. I didn't use it anymore. But I appreciate the thought. It brings an old man's heart such delight to think that the young still remember him.
I like to hear tales of that time." "I like a good tale around the campfire."
"Well,
you know?
Perhaps not here." And he like looks down the corridor and is just like, "I think we may need to regroup. I don't know how the rest of you are feeling, but I myself am rather burned and damaged.
My spells are spent.
I'm pretty weak in myself, and I think, as I said, I'm ready for a bite to eat, a nip of whiskey, and maybe a story by the campfire of the old days of Pembroke the Potent. What do you say, Baron?"
"I've learned to rely on the strength of my companions for a while, and I can tell when they've spent all their spells. Let's go. Have a nip of whiskey, like you said.
Aye. Okay, it'll warm you up. This tunnel's a bit too cold, and we've just been through a blizzard underground. Not exactly my idea of a good time.
No, no. Yes, we should get moving.
So where to? Where to?
Well, back to the temple, or to Skelt, or world is our oyster, as it were.
How about we go to Skelt? I think it's going to be much easier to find a warm bit of brown liquor there, wouldn't you say so? As opposed to the temple.
Well, yes, I must say, an actual bed would do my old bones a bit of good.
Give me a warm bed in the city. Let's take a quick teleport back, Pembroke. Yeah,
let's do it. Right, gather together, please, please.
And he waves them all together and takes hands and shoot. And let's roll.
Oh, let's roll those
D100!
Oh my god, what is it?
4.
4 is okay.
4 is okay.
So, boom, okay. We apparate in the room 15 at the end again.
Boom, and you're back.
Pembroke, could you maybe examine another location?
Well, not something that I always puts the most time here. Sorry, sir. No, please put your towel on. We'll be going.
Ma'am?
Oh, I didn't see you there. Sorry,
listen,
ma'am.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You don't want a teleporter mishap. It's terrible. We had to invade your privacy, but it was for the best. It's for the future of the world.
No, the management told us this could happen. It's been happening a lot lately.
We got a discounted rate.
I saw it on the Yelp review.
Perhaps Dalgreith will sign a few things for you.
Oh, yes, perhaps you recognize Dalgreith Deathbringer.
Nah, no, you never heard of Dalgreith Deathbringer.
Sing them a song, Dalgreith.
Have you? No.
Oh, I see. You're calling the police. Well, you'll just be out of your way then.
That's a no on the song.
Yes, no, right. All right. No, we're leaving. No.
Get me a Roy.
All right, I'll sign your underpants. No,
we gotta go.
Please don't.
We hustle, my only care. We bustle out into the hallway as they slam the door behind us. And
you hear lock.
Yeah. Can we get a bite to eat? I think Dogwraith is definitely interested in some comfort. Yeah, surroundings, yes, of some warmth and comfort.
I would love that. I would like a bit of perhaps a hospital first, because I am sort of badly injured.
Very right, badly right. Injured.
Thanks to the magic of Firaza here, I barely took a scratch. I have to thank you. It was quite impressive, the resist cold you had there.
And he brings back his coat a little bit, and you see the vials that are, like, sitting on his belt pouch. And he's just like, you saved me one of these there. And much more powerful than what I carry, I gotta say. So thank you very much.
Pleasure to be of service. Dalgreith Deathbringer. What is your actual last name?
It's Underfoot. Dalgreith Underfoot. Ah, that's my birth name.
That's the birth name.
Aye. Yeah. Call me what you like, though.
When did you become the Deathbringer?
Oh, it took many years. Many, many years. It was only, I'd say, maybe 8 or so years ago I was given the name by a king in Ustalav, actually. A rather obnoxious chap who had a whole court simpering after him. But, you know, it's the way of life down there. And it's, he called me the Deathbringer. I'm sure it was just to impress his friends and whatnot, but it seemed to take.
It was after you felled the great dragon of Danny Bro.
Yes. Well, it was the undead dragon of Danny Bro.
Yes, of course.
But, yeah, just small detail there, small detail. But, yes, it's actually the same
place. I remember it from the back of your rookie card. They mentioned it. It's that first year.
Career highlights.
Yes, highlights, yes.
I just ask because, you know, there are some lesser adventurers that perhaps would name themselves something like Deathbringer.
No.
No, not one of your stature.
Self-appellations is not... not
sense
not
motive.
Any.
Is not. 23.
No, it's a true story.
It's a true story, guys.
It's a true story.
It's a true made-up story.
It's a true invented story.
Yeah, it's less cool when you realize it's made up.
The whole game. The entire game.
You really should let other people call you that.
It's like Kobe Bryant says, call me Black Mamba.
Well, that stuck. Kevin Durant actually wanted to be known as, like, the preacher or something. Like, he gave himself a terrible nickname. Oh, he wanted to call him Slim Reaper, and he wanted to be called the servant. And no one wanted to call him the servant.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, let's get some
food
and healing. We'll and assume then healing and then the hospital. Yes. Yeah, let's get some food and then drop me off at the ER.
The ER.
Do you want to eat hospital food?
Just dropping off.
Nothing's better than hospital food.
Because you always forget. It's just like, oh right, I took 70 points of damage. I totally forgot. Like we had like this whole conversation and food and I totally forgot.
All right, so you go down to the local inn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the inn, but you go down to the bar, the hotel bar.
Exactly.
And get a bite to eat. Is there anything you need to do there, or are you just getting a bite?
No, nothing of consequence. Okay. Getting a bite, I think Dalgraith just wants to share a whiskey with Baron. Yeah. He's really, he wants to buy Baron a whiskey, and, you know, if Pembroke's there, if Firaz is there, if they are interested in imbibing, he would certainly buy for them as well. You know, he's not looking to get blind drunk or anything, but just...
You're marking that on your sheet?
Something to...
please remove 17 gold from your sheet.
That is the most overpriced
those
whiskey.
Those are incredibly expensive.
You don't know what the price is in this hotel bar. It's like they're marked up.
Is that $1,700?
It's an airport tavern?
Marks up for everyone with expense accounts.
Well, Dalgraith's got expensive tastes.
Well, no, they're actually charging more because they know he's famous.
Yeah.
They're like, they're up in the
this
ante.
This guy can afford it.
Yeah.
Plus, you gave a big tip to show off.
That's what I was going to say, is the 17 gold comes from all the tips.
Right. You got like Louis Trez. What did you get for Louis Trez?
What did we say the relative worth of one gold piece was?
It's about $100.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it was like.
So
when I
a bar tab of $700 for four people.
You know what?
You get
that's
bottle
like
service.
Bottle service.
Yeah,
what would you do after a battle?
He's like,
that.
We'll take this table here in the back and just keep the bottles coming.
I think 17 gold was pretty accurate.
Yeah. Not too bad.
That's what they also call you, Dalgraith Bottle Service. Always wondered. It's never quite put it together.
As soon as Dalgraith ordered it, you see all these like hussied up women in like tight skirts walking over to him.
Tight bodices.
Sitting on his lap. He's like, oh, I couldn't. No, please. I'm trying to have a drink with my friend. Okay. All right. Okay. Please. I am trying to. Okay. Okay.
Rory the Hatmaker is suddenly sitting with us.
Hi, fellas. All right, so you guys recharge your batteries there. You drop Pembroke off at the ER. He gets stitched up, and you guys get a room for the night, and then it's back to business tomorrow. Yeah, you're going to wait through the day and go at night. I mean, in the tomb, it's always night. So what do you want to do?
Baron's going to slip out at night and buy... he's going to mark this on a sheet for real.
Okay.
Two more rounds of bottle service. No. Several scrolls.
No. I said
just to
no.
Be clear.
We have burned through our per diems.
Several scrolls.
This isn't a Glass Cannon Live tour night.
Everybody's pointing fingers at each other. Who ordered what? What bottle did you get?
You might have an encounter the next day.
I just let everyone know at the live events to put it on Troy LaValle's card.
Is that why?
Yeah.
I need receipts. Show me receipts.
I'm going to buy several scrolls of Ghostbane Dirge, which I can catch.
Several.
Why don't we just buy some Ghostbane?
I don't think you
weapons.
Want Ghostbane Dirge scrolls. I don't think you want to spend money on that.
Would it be better
because
to have, like, a Ghostbane sword?
I could be wrong, but I think the spell is cast on an incorporeal creature to make them hittable. And it is a save or suck spell. So, like, they get a will save, and it's, like, DC 11 or 12 or something for a scroll.
Will negates.
Yeah, and then nothing happens. So I don't... It's not like you get to cast it on a weapon and make it Ghostbane.
And it's going to be... Well, I
don't
even...
But can't you buy, like, a Ghost Touch short sword or something?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. It'd be like 2,300 gold. I don't know if we have that lying around.
Yeah.
We have about 2,300 gold, but...
If it was up to me, Baron, I'm a few whiskeys in, but I'll say if it was up to me, we'd be saving that money in case anything happened to that weapon of yours. I ain't never seen anything like that in all my time. In all my travels, I never seen a weapon so deadly as that. Mixing magic with the power of a cannon... It's quite a frightful thing to behold, and I don't know that should something bad happen to it, we wouldn't want to have the funds around to take care of it should the worst happen.
I hadn't seen any weapons as dangerous as this, nor a person as dangerous as I am, till I came to Skirgard. Till I heard tell of the evil that emanates from Skirkatla. I'll tell you one thing I've enjoyed. This Veuve Clicquot you've given me tonight.
And the Grey Goose. And the $40 orange juice that came with it. But it makes me feel uneasy to be relaxing when that's still up there on that mountain over yonder.
Oh, you're thinking about it all wrong. There's no one else that's going to go up to that mountain and take care of that threat. That's left to us. There's no question about that. And we can't take too much time, I give you that as well. But if we can't remember what we're fighting for, if we can't remember that it's the peace and quiet and the warmth, the reasons why we're doing it, then all will fall apart. We can't spend our days freezing cold and out of our wits, out of our minds, because we can't, you know, got to leave the altitude, get a good drink, warm up for a moment, get a good rest in a bed, revitalize ourselves, and then go back to the hunt, as it were. We're doing the right thing. Don't question yourself. Your aim was very good with them tortured spirits. You did a good job of putting them down where I couldn't. I appreciate the help. And I think you've earned yourself a good rest and a spot of fun.
Well, if I'm...
Don't deny it to yourself.
If I'm being honest, it has been a bit of pleasure, and just like the pleasure I had from this, I had a great deal of pleasure seeing you leap on that giant's back there. Man, that was crazy. How did you do that? I've never seen nothing like that on the battlefield.
Well, to me, there's no other way to fight these large and giant and huge creatures. You got to get within their reach so they can't get to you, Baron.
I mean, we've all gotten the combat training. We're dwarves. I mean, come on, man. I just want to geek out. I'm looking over my shoulder, hoping Pembroke's not looking at me, and Feyraza's like...
Oh, they wouldn't sort of get about it. It's a dwarf.
Pembroke. But, like, staring daggers of jealousy.
I gotta tell you, though, I've never seen someone move like that on the battlefield. I gotta say, the way you were on him, frankly, it was vexing.
Nailed it.
Wah, wah.
Well, it's all part of the training, Baron. You gotta fight the weapons. You gotta fight with the weapons that you're given. And if you have something that's only the length of your forearm, then you gotta get in close. But I find that it's more of an advantage with these large monsters, especially the ones that aren't so smart. You get inside and give them a good stab to the soft parts, and they go down quite easy.
I like it when they hit themselves in the face trying to get you on their neck. It made me laugh inside a little bit. I had to be stone cold on the outside, but I loved it.
Remember the one that tried to do the awesome blow to me off the bridge?
Oh yeah, of course. It was amazing.
I said try again. But he was dead before he had the chest.
Guys are having a grand old time.
I love this. This idea of like sitting at the tavern to talk shit on the GM, like indirectly.
In move character. Another 17 gold from your sheet. I'm assuming you're like, one more round!
One more bowl!
All right, so you guys party all night. Do you want to go back during the day tomorrow or during the night? Assuming you're all back to normal, you might need to burn healing. I don't know what you're going to...
I mean, Dograith is barely down at all. It was really remarkable. Like, the buffing spells from the...
The resist energy.
Yeah, the resist energy and the stone skin, which I guess in retrospect would have been a good reason to go to the temple.
We're missing.
But we could also go to the temple and rest another day. We could do it to get the stone skin. But Feyraz is then resist energy. It was just incredible. Dograith ended up down... 14 hit points.
Yeah, and don't forget, every day that you're goofing off, you know, you're letting them regroup. You're letting knowledge float around that tomb.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't have to worry so much about the camp rebuilding, but, like, you know, keep that in mind.
Yeah, we should go back in today, I think. Baron would want to. He wouldn't want them to rebuild. He already saw this creature come back and kill his friend Forebears, so...
Yeah, I think we would all have kind of... an imperative to finish this as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And Dalgrave's opinion on the whole thing is to close on the queen as quickly as possible. I don't know what are you guys thinking in terms of like where we go next? Is it the haunted door? Is it the secret back entrance?
I mean, I'd like to keep going down that hallway.
Where we had left.
Where we
left. Explore
the tunnel.
Yeah.
The tunnel, yeah.
I can tell you, Dograith, and he'll say this over a few drinks, he's definitely interested in seeing if the bodies of these women are there, if there's any chance that they're frozen in the ice and can be found. He'd love to be able to give them rest from the torture of dying in the ice.
Yeah.
So exploring further down that way is definitely up his alley.
I've seen haunts before in this journey. Do you want me to roll a knowledge check to know how to deal with them? Like, are we equipped if we go? Because we've heard about this haunt. Like, I just want to make sure before we leave the town, if we end up needing to go confront it, and we can't get the name of the headless horseman, whatever, the Duergard, I forget his name. I just want to know how to take care of it if we have to.
I don't. I was going to say, roll a knowledge religion to see what you know about haunts, if you have it.
Dalgraith rolled a 20.
14 from Baron.
I mean, I would imagine he's encountered haunts in his travels.
Yeah, so know. Baron, it's still, I mean, in the course of Giant Slayer, you've probably been a part of 2 to 3 haunts. So
right.
It's still not, you know, something that you're super familiar with. But Dalgraith with a 20, maybe you've seen a couple more. I don't know if you've traveled with clerics before, but you know that if the clerics that you have traveled with, if they can see a haunt manifest before and get the jump on it, positive energy tends to damage haunts.
But that's really kind of the only way to deliver it is through a channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not through a healing spell.
Yeah, channel.
You tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Dalgraith, if they were talking about it, right, would be like, I've encountered a few of these in my time, and I think that the power of the divine, the burst of positive energy you get from a priest can truly put them to rest easily, but encountering haunts in the past gives you really no map to encountering haunts in the future. They're all different. They all manifest in strange ways.
And you would know that, like, obviously positive energy from a channel damages haunts or tends to damage haunts, but each individual haunt has its own, like, way of dispelling it, depending on what caused the haunt. And a Khargrim told you basically what you would need to do.
Do we need to give him the name of the Duergard? Well, what is the name of the creature? I just keep on messing it up. But
it's a Doolahan.
Doolahan.
The name of the creature, but it's his name.
It's giving him the name of the Doolahan?
No, it's giving the haunt the name of the Doolahan.
Oh.
I think that's what I think, right? I think that we have to get the name from the Doolahan.
Oh, shit.
That's what I thought. But it also, but is it we need to go to him with his name and that will weaken him?
Yeah.
Do we know that, Troy, one way or the other, or do we not know?
Consecrate it and demand the decapitant lord remember his name.
That's right.
So I could get a consecration spell?
You get a consecration scroll.
I've been keeping Hallow prepared. Would that work?
I think it's consecrate. It's an actual spell.
Yeah.
Right?
I cast it in the...
I remember this. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I cast
it. Nargrim's tomb?
Yeah. So I'll pick up another scroll. I'll subtract it from there. Inquisitor level 2. Yep, I can cast it.
Cool.
But right now you're thinking about heading back to the tunnel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so do you want to just... Boom, are we talking day or night?
ASAP.
Yeah. ASAP.
So yeah.
Day. Again,
day.
It's always
first,
night and day.
First thing in the morning. And then before
first
we...
First thing in the morning.
Before we leave, Pembroke is going to cast Getaway.
Oh, yeah.
And he is... And the night before, like, while these guys are geeking out dwarvishly, Pembroke is studying the bar. Not to pass the bar, like, as a lawyer, but he's studying the bar that they're in. So he's, like, going and says, like, oh, sorry, could I get a closer look at that painting you've got hung up over there? And, like, going up, like, studying every aspect of the bar so that he can feel very familiar with it.
And now this lasts 1 hour per level. So basically, like, you've got 12 hours from the time of casting it to get a free get-out-of-jail card, basically.
So that's... Yeah, right before he casts teleport to go back to the tomb, he's going to cast Getaway and
love it.
Yeah, because you have to cast it at the location.
Yeah, you have to cast it at the location. So,
And I'm sure you tell them all, you know, in order for it to work, they all have to be within 30 feet of you, and they have to choose to go with you.
Right.
They can decide not to go.
Yeah. We'll probably do that.
You never know. Very, very cool. God, these high level spells we've just never even got into.
No, I know. We never
crazy
get that
stuff. All right, so boom, you cast Getaway and D100 on the teleporter.
All right.
A teleporter.
60.
Okay.
You are right. And you're right back in a very similar configuration. Because I haven't moved you on the map. Inside of this drainage tunnel, about 40 or so feet away from the turn, where instead of heading in a southwesterly direction, it starts heading due south.
Dalgraith will take the lead. He'll once again try to stealth around the corner. He's going to stow the crossbow at this point and just pull out one sword, one short sword.
Okay.
And we'll attempt a stealth around the corner.
Okay.
To peek around and see if these creatures come back. That is a 34.
34. Nothing seems to stir whatsoever. Roll a perception check.
16.
16. Just the hallway is about 15 feet wide at its widest point, maybe 10 feet wide at its thinnest point. And that's pretty much right where this tunnel, where you're starting to turn into the south. But you just see drifts of snow. Because this snow that, was surrounding them, it was like a 400-foot aura, I think, or 200 feet.
Wow.
It's choked this
huge
hallway as well.
Oh, wow.
And now, what is he looking at if he looks 60 feet away down this
just
tunnel?
Just more tunnel.
Okay, so it just keeps going. And there's a little drop-off there?
Yeah, there's a little drop-off, but it's like 2 feet.
All right, so he'll call everybody up to have their own look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Appears safe, just more tunnel here. Come up and take a look, what you think.
Yes.
Should we climb down, or should I climb down and keep moving forward, or should we turn back from here?
I'm happy to take the vanguard with you, but if you'd like to lead, I'll follow.
Oh, I'd like to have you right next to me, right by my side.
All right.
I'd especially like your gun right by my side.
Let's see who can stealth the best, Dalgraith. Let's have a little game, okay?
Oh, good. Right. I'll bet you 5 gold I got you.
Bet you bottle service.
I'll bet you $3,400.
Too rich for my blood.
So, Baron, right. You going to stealth up too?
Yep.
All right, roll stealthy.
26.
Okay, so you get up right behind Dalgraith. Nothing seems to stir. Dalgraith, you have your eyes fixed on the tunnel as well. I think you feel pretty confident that both Pembroke and Ferraza can join you. There doesn't seem to be anything in your vicinity. You guys see snowdrifts as well. Baron, roll a perception check.
Not bad. Not bad at all. 34, 36. Dunk.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
So right about 30 feet away to the left, you notice one of the snowdrifts seems to have buried something in it. It's to your right, stage left, about 30 feet away. It looks like it's buried something large, maybe about 5 feet wide, but not very tall.
Baron speaks in Dwarvish, which he believes Pembroke understands, and thinks that no one in this cave will know, and he'll point out that there's a body there. And
you're just trying to exclude Ferraza.
I see. That's cool.
No,
that's
cool. Come on.
Yep, everyone in the party understands with me.
You know what?
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep playing.
He just wanted to make sure Ferraza couldn't understand.
Actually, you know what? Ferraza does speak Dwarven.
All right.
Hey! No bottle cap.
I can understand you, you little asshole.
Yeah. One of the first things he said was like, "Don't tell Ferraza." Yeah. There's a body in the snowdrift up there.
That was uncalled for.
All right,
it's a surprise for her birthday.
Fine, you're a big asshole.
Dalgraith will he'll climb down. I mean, is it 5 feet? Is it 10 feet? This little.
I said 2 feet.
Only 2 feet. Like, so he'll jump down. Difficult terrain. He'll sort of move over and toward this little
Baron
snowdrift.
Okay.
And can we see any further down the hallway? We're 60 feet.
Yeah, it just it's just more tunnel as far as you can see.
Okay.
Okay. So a Dalgraith comes up to this mound, I guess. Am I in the right spot on the map for the mm-hmm. mound?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, but hold on. Sorry, before you do that, Pembroke casts Mirror Image on himself.
Cast Getaway.
Yeah, I guess get away.
I don't like the look of that drift. You're all too far away. I'm sorry. Boom.
Back in the bar.
Bottles.
Good luck, guys.
And the Giants take over the world.
And the Giants take over the world.
So he's got 5 images, and he's going to take out his wand of fly and cast flight on himself.
Baron's going to detect alignment and magic on the drift before we start digging in.
Vroom, vroom, detect vroom, alignment, vroom, vroom, nothing. Vroom. Detect magic, nothing.
Okay. Let's dig in.
Yeah, Dalgraith will start poking with the sword through the snow.
The pointy part?
Yeah, the pointy part. Just sort of easing it in. Just easing it in there.
You just hear,
ah! Oh, I'm sorry!
Ah, now I'm dead, and I had all the secrets of the adventure.
It's a sleeping yeti. I should have known.
Who pokes a snowdrift? you just stick it in, and nothing. I mean, the snow gives a little bit, obviously.
Yeah.
But just surround.
All right, he'll sheathe it. He'll sheathe the sword and start wiping away with his hands, just trying to see what's underneath
the
snow.
The dead bodies of the...
Oh. Well, that's what I assumed it was. But
you're wiping away the snow drifts, just wiping away, and I imagine Feyraz is watching you. Does Baron join in, wiping it away? Just watching the snow get wiped back and forth. And Feyrazi, you're taken back to, like, the gentle swells of a river. Water moving back and forth. It's the Asp River. Water lapping against its sandy shores. Ibis, wading birds, tiptoe through the shallows. And they pause to bask in the warmth of the midday sun. Just a bit inland, broken. Barley plants stand a crooked guard. Gray, brown, dead. All of a sudden the plants begin to shake and rustle more and more and more, and Ibis tilts its head. The rustling swells and swells, and suddenly a small crow hops out from the dead plants. It tilts its head toward the dead plants and then back towards the water. "I see you," the crow says. One of the Ibis bows its head, steps away from the others. A whirl of wind, and the Ibis spins into Feyraza. Her spectacles down the end of her nose.
"One day I'll fool you yet."
A young man's form just leaps out of the crows.
"You're getting slow, Malouk. I was waiting there with the birds for nearly an hour."
"You're fine," says Malouk with a sly smile. "You were there with your people." Feyraza smirks.
"Birds are full of surprises,"
she says.
"Unlike you, who is slow and boring."
Malouk waves her common away and looks back to the dead barley. "This is it," he says. Feyraza nods. "Worse than you said," he says. Feyraza nods again and pushes her spectacles up on her nose.
"Shall we?"
Malouk nods as well, and Feyraza wades onto dry land. She mutters a few words, and a coil of fiery rope begins to uncoil out of her palm. Malouk mumbles under his breath, and his hands glow with flame. Feyraza swings her fiery rope at the dead barley, lighting it on fire. Malouk pushes a cone of flame from his hands, and together the two druids light a line of barley aflame. You hear tiny screams in the distance. Feyraza and Malouk turn towards the sound and see several children from the farming commune run at them, splashing up water from the shallows as they go. Like, "What are you doing? Stop it! Stop it!" Feyraza dispels her fiery rope and gestures for Malouk to stop as well. He does. "Feyraza!" The small girl in the lead wheezes at her. "What are you doing? Why are you killing our crops? What will we eat?" Malouk sighs, but Feyraza just tisks him into silence. She crouches down in front of the children.
"Look at this barley,"
she says.
"It is dead. Its presence here is stifling your community's ability to produce grain for you to eat and sell."
"But
death is part of life, little one,"
Feyraza says. She reaches her hands down into the embers of the burned plant. She turns her hand, and the dust slips through her fingers, collecting into a small pile on the sand. She whispers a few words, and a small green bud pops out of the dust. The child smiles.
"Sometimes to grow, it is necessary to burn a bit of the past."
"I could not have put it better myself," a voice says. Feyraza looks around, and the rest of the Ibis waiting in the water stand straight up and then reveal themselves to be humans. Two women. The children scatter when they see the women, and once the children are gone, these two copper-skinned women in brown homespun robes walk towards Marouk and Feyraza.
Maruk, please go home. Feyraza, pack your essentials and meet us at the north gate. They then turn into, like, condors and just fly off.
Man, Druid society is so cool. Yeah.
It just does what it wants. A few days pass, and you find yourself, Feyraza, walking across the desert. The terrain is obviously not unfamiliar to you, but you don't know where you're going. There are smaller buildings around that look to be of relatively new construction. It appears like a sandstorm came through the region recently, but the houses are well protected because there's a huge sand dune that towers over the landscape in front of you. This is why they built houses on this side of the dune. Your two teachers, these two female druids, walk ahead of you about 10 paces, just chatting with each other. They motion to you to join them. You catch up to them. They give you a knowing nod, and then the three of you just fly in human form to the top of the dune. As you crest the top, you see about 2 miles or so ahead of you a giant pyramid. One of them says, "That is our destination. Come." And they take off into the air, and you join them across this open desert. Imagine, like, from a side view, you see the pyramid.
It's like Lawrence of Arabia.
And yeah. You guys are just, the three of you, flying towards the pyramid.
They're, like, really tiny.
Right, really tiny little dots.
Yeah, yeah.
Specks in the landscape.
Sand gleaming in the sun.
And you can just hear their druid roads, like, flapping, flapping in the wind. And you just alight right in front of the entrance to the pyramid. All of you walk inside. It's dark, but your teachers promptly create light and move forward. You see these unfamiliar runes on the walls around you, but your focus is on your teachers, who seem to be moving with purpose, but also with unease. Eventually, maybe after 5 minutes, could have been 25 minutes, but you come to a chamber. Your teachers enter the room ahead of you with noticeable trepidation. One of them quickly extends her hands, one at a time, towards the four corners of the room, shooting flames to four braziers stuck high up on the walls. You see that in the middle of the room is a sarcophagus. But now that the room is lit, your eyes are even more drawn to the walls, which are covered floor to ceiling in pictograms. And you can see that your teachers are purposely not looking at the walls, but looking at you and not saying a word.
Why have you brought me here?
Feyraza, all over Osirian there are pyramids, there are tombs, vaults, and they all hold great secrets, some of which may never be uncovered. This tomb has its own secrets as well, but it is especially meaningful to you.
Me?
Yes, Feyraza. You see, the creature who lies at rest here was once a powerful master of the arcane arts. He was a good man. But as his power grew, it twisted his mind. Soon your powers will grow as well, and you must be prepared, Feyraza. As magics become greater, they become more unwieldy, more prone to mishaps that could have grave consequence for you and those you surround yourselves with. Such was the case with Zensis here. His particular obsession was that he thought he could control time itself. He failed, but left behind a very important tapestry. You see, the walls of this chamber contain visions of things that have already happened, things that are happening right now, even as we speak, and things that have yet to come to pass. They all contain moments in time that may lead to a great doom that will befall the world. They step forward towards you very slowly. Feraza, someone from your bloodline was tasked with protecting this chamber, the secrets inside of it, perhaps even the treasures. And that person died here in this room. How? No one knows. It was generations ago, but he was turned into dust, right where you stand. His soul, his very essence, consumed by someone or something. His name was Pudir. Now, while he perished, his wife was with child, and she bore a son, whom she named Pudir in his honor. When he became a man, fearing that the fate of his father would follow him as well, he took his family far away from here, to Avastan, to start a new life and leave this world and all its curses and secrets behind. It is doubtful that this man still lives, but we believe he may have had a son of his own, most likely named Pudir as well. If so, he would be a man probably in his early to late 40s, and we believe this man is the chosen one meant to prevent the great doom.
Why are you telling me this? Why have you brought me here? I'm but a low-level acolyte, comparatively. I'm nothing compared to you, my teachers.
Yet, Feraza, you are nothing yet. We have nothing left to teach you, my dear. All that you need already lies inside of you. Great powers that you don't even know you possess. Your remaining lessons are out there in the world. Travel to Avastan. Find this Pudir. Find the Chosen One. And guard him with your life.
I will, of course, comply. I just am... I seek not power. I seek not glory. I wish simply to help the farmers of this land. My aspirations lie very locally. Surely there is someone better suited. Someone that I can assist, accompany. Another teacher, perhaps.
Feraza, there is something in you that cannot be taught. It is beyond even us. We are very grateful for what you've done here with us. It was more than we expected of you. But now, you must go.
You have taught me to serve, and serve I shall. I leave with great trepidation, my teachers, for I know not the world. And I fear I will not be able to pay. I will not be able to serve in the way I must when the time comes. But go I shall.
He's nodding at each other.
Troy's just nodding like,
alright, sounds good.
We're Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah. It was like a Clint Eastwood like showdown. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They're just kind of looking at each other.
Good, good, good. You must.
I've run out of script.
You must.
Line.
You must leave on the morrow. Say goodbye to your friends if you choose. But you must go.
I suspect it will be easier if I do not return. Tell the others I go off to serve a higher purpose. And I humbly beg their pardon. But you say I must go to Avastan, but Avastan is a continent, correct?
Yes.
Matthew says, looking around the table.
Yeah. Yes, it is a continent, yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
You fool.
I'm from a different continent.
Perhaps we've chosen
what
the
is
wrong
this?
Person.
What is this?
Kill her immediately.
What is this Asia you speak of?
You have talents that we cannot teach, and a talent that you could not learn. Geography.
At this point, I didn't put any skill ranks.
How in have you geography. Never heard of Avastan? All right, seriously.
Perhaps she is not the right one. How do you spell your name again?
But you
shit, sure that you, the other Feyraza.
Oh, God. Surely you must have some direction or indication of where this Pudia traveled to, where I might start my search, where I might begin my service.
They look at each other, maybe even whisper something under their breath that you don't catch, but they look back at you as if what they're about to say they're not even sure about. But they just say, seek Trunau. Just snow starts to fill your vision as you see Dalgrith and Baron wipe off two corpses.
Yeah, yeah, I knew it.
Two female corpses, frozen solid. I mean, they're not skeletons. They're still, like, you know, whole bodies that have been preserved by the cold down here. And they have manacles around their arms.
Oh what a terrible
come
life.
On.
And legs.
Jesus.
Two human females?
Yes, they appear to be human.
I'm hoping this doesn't turn into Encino Man 2. They come out.
They're wacky cavemen, and we get to go to high school again.
All right. Oh man,
just me.
There's no time for jokes, man. It's a horrible thing that befell these women.
It'd be cool to meet Sean Astin, though.
Yeah, yeah, true. For real.
You remember when he filled his mouth with the ketchup and the mustard? It was crazy.
Do we know? Can we surmise anything about what happened to them? Like, what do we already know? And
roll.
Like,
go with knowledge religion again. I think that, and you could go Arcana, Pembroke.
Oh, that's a 35.
That beats me.
Yeah, I think that'll beat that. You feel, since you came into this place, an aura of desecration. It doesn't pervade every room, but you know that, like, what is going on here to create these abominations is happening under various auras of desecration. And so you think that when these women froze to death, their spirits mingled with that aura that pervades this place, causing them to rise as these restless Yukiona spirits.
So there's just this kind of unholy ambient energy that's permeating everything. But right. why were they here? Like, were they brought here as prisoners? Like, who?
I mean, it stands to reason, right?
But manacled why? And stuff. Why? Like, who were they?
Well, there were lots of slaves here.
But why were they in this part of the dungeon?
They were brought as sacrifices?
Can I examine the manacles or anything?
Yeah, you can see that the manacles look like they were broken. Mm-hmm. Baron, roll engineering on them.
Not awful. Let's hope that this will shed some light on the situation.
A simple number would suffice.
19. I had to find it on the sheet.
19. Wow.
Why?
I appreciate it.
After a 15-minute long cutscene. This guy. Oh, my God. I guess he gets paid by the word. Just
Hey, by the way, for those of you that couldn't see around the table, obviously early on, there was some planning and some scripting there, but then for like the entire second half of that, neither of you were looking at anything. You were just talking to each other.
Yeah.
It was not a script.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Awesome.
For both like the scripted section and the improvised
early part
section.
Was the scripted to get it started, but then what did you tell each other beforehand? Like,
I texted
we're just going to go off script after.
It's like, I got a fun idea. You want to just improvise with me?
Yeah, it was great.
Here we are.
That was awesome.
Good stuff.
So you notice that it looks like the manacles were filed down
Oh.
So, and poorly, but enough so that they could break and escape from wherever they were, you would think.
They escaped into the mountain?
Yeah. Oh, they were running away from, like, slavery, I think.
Oh, like the camp? Were they, like, running from the camp, maybe?
Yeah, maybe running from
here?
Well, maybe it was like, this is the only way they could go. They couldn't get out the front entrance.
It's winter out there.
Wow. Yeah.
But that would mean they would have to run past the Decapitant Lord, past the Devourer, past the Goldacos, jump into that pit and into the Dreamers.
Maybe they were like slaves to Skirkatla, like chosen handmaidens or something, were inside already.
Or they predate.
Yeah, can we tell how old
they predate the whole Skirkatla thing?
They seem to be wearing the same garb as like Nimnim. You think like this could be, that could have been Nimnim. That could have been Shael.
Right.
It's just two other random souls.
Maybe
lost
it was
souls.
Like 300 years ago, and the fashion trends have just repeated and cycled.
That's true.
And like,
it
I don't know.
Comes back.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's good, Greg.
Thank you. I just picture us all kind of like quiet for a second as you're examining, and then saying that they had, or well, you, Baron, saying that they had escaped. At least it looks like they had escaped whatever they were doing, and then became trapped here in the snow, and Dalgraith is just like, you know, when you do something like I do, when you spend your life hunting great, terrible creatures, you know that death is a part of it. Something that's always around the corner and something you got to deal with, but there's nothing that scares me more. And believe me, there are plenty of things that scare me. Don't believe what you hear. There's nothing that scares me more of not having control of my own soul. If they corrupt you to the point where they get control and twist your soul into torture and agony for your entire afterlife, it gives me pause. It makes me think we have to be very careful as we move forward in this place. A great evil lingers here, and dying might not be the worst thing that could happen to us.
Yes, this portends a terrible fate. It's possible. We should take them with us, bury them if we can.
I agree, Pembroke. If I was lost in the ice and my soul given over to this torture, I'd want someone to put me to rest. So I'd like to do it as well. It's all right with you, Ferraza. It's all right with you, Baron. I'd like to take the time to bury these corpses. Give them a proper rite.
Not here, of course.
Yes, perhaps not right now.
No, I mean, not at the moment, we'll but let's not forget it.
We won't.
Hashtag squad goals.
We will return.
You're really making a lot of jokes about this whole situation, Baron.
It took all of my energy when you was like when you said something about like the one of the things that scares me is something I want to be like, what's the other? What's the other thing that scares you?
Connies!
Connies! You know.
Circus folk.
I can never win
hands,
their games.
You know. Smell like cabbage.
Smell like cabbage, you know. So you want to just, kind of bookend. All right, we got to come back. I'm gonna just remember. We want to come back, grab them, and give them a proper burial.
Yes.
But right now you want to continue forward.
Yeah.
And forward is just deeper into tunnel.
Deeper into tunnel.
South.
Are you stealthing or just kind of walking?
Yeah, stealthing.
All right, so
Dalgraith will stealth ahead.
Have the stealthers roll their stealth.
28.
20.
Okay. So you just start trudging ahead.
I'm sorry, 23.
Okay. You're rolling ahead, and you're going, 40 feet.
Yeah.
80 feet. 150 feet.
What?
180 feet, and it's just more tunnel. It never gets wider than like 20, 22 feet. It's pretty uniform.
And now we know we're turning away from the rest of the tomb, and it's just going deeper.
You're going deeper south. You kind of think maybe it turned a little bit west again, but then continues south.
Is it engineered? Is it something Baron would notice as like giant engineering, or is it like a frostworm tunnel?
It most likely used to be a frostworm tunnel.
Okay. But not as many paths as before.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't see any remnants of that a frostworm has been in here lately, so it might just have started off as a frostworm tunnel that they renovated and turned into like an escape route or something else. You're not quite sure if it holds a purpose other than being this drainage tunnel for this embalming fluid that is getting the stream is getting thicker and thicker. Not like, oh, I can't swim through it. I mean, it's in your feet, but like it's getting bigger. 200 feet, 210, 220. You go about 230 feet, and you see light up ahead. Everybody roll a perception check. I imagine Dalgrith and Baron are stealthing ahead every so often, and then like given the look to Pembroke
every 40
Feyraza.
Feet or so.
And like, Pembroke's obviously super super quiet because he's floating,
above right above the snow.
Right.
Yeah.
Grant, you look pretty happy with that roll.
I'm so happy. I'm rolling in the dice tray that's going to be the reward for the call to arts for Baron, and I rolled a natural 20 in it. Wasn't a combat 20, but it's game worn.
I also rolled a natural 20.
Oh,
roll off.
Now, what is your bonus?
Plus 26.
Oh, you beat me. Plus 19 over here.
It's a 46 perception, Troy.
46 perception?
It's a shame you're 40 feet behind us.
39 from Baron.
Yeah, you just see...
I got eagle eyes, baby.
You see Dalgrith and Baron in perfect precision. Their buttocks toned.
I was just
going to
say, you see Baron's plumber's crack as he looks around the corner.
You see the light is coming from a grate in the ceiling of the tunnel up ahead. Looks to be about 15 feet up.
It makes sense that they could build upwards. It's inside of the side of a mountain, so it would never need to be one level necessarily. We haven't seen any stairs yet, though, right?
No.
Interesting.
No, but you did go down into the pit. So you
We are under the tomb right now.
Right, right.
So there could be rooms above us that are active.
This is crazy creepy.
Refer yourselves to the map here, and you will see the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I mean, you'll see the grate.
The grate.
Can we see anything up through the grate?
Do you move close to it?
Yeah.
To inspect?
I mean, it must be a drainage grate for the embalming fluid, right?
Yeah, and
is it dripping down from the...
In fact, the water is dripping down through, like, the northwesternmost part of the grate, forming the stream that just continued throughout. You look up, and you see a chamber.
Can we listen for a moment?
Yeah, everybody roll perception. I'm assuming you guys are right near the grate, obviously.
Yes. 21.
30.
33.
12.
Okay. My over 30s.
I'm sorry, 40.
40.
Oh.
Okay. So, Dalgrith, you hear... Can't quite figure it out. Feyraza with a 40. It sounds like someone is writing something.
Oh, wow.
You hear, like, lead on paper.
Are they helpfully reading what they're writing out loud?
No.
Damn it.
I mean, with a 40, that is like animal type senses. You're like, someone is writing something.
Someone is writing a letter.
That's 12th level.
Can Dalgrith do a
best
perception?
Best wishes and thank you for cake? Something? Something about cake?
Sounded like a lowercase
a children's toy of some kind?
Oh, nope, they've gone back.
Erasing it. Can I take a look at the grate? Just examine if there's any way to open it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, 18.
Pure strength, or a magical means of moving something that looks pretty heavy.
There's someone up there, but I don't think we're getting through without letting them know we're here. It's only going to be sheer force that opens this grate.
Feyraza is going to...
That, or we could become an incorporeal giant cat and just jump through it.
Apparently that is against the rules.
We also have...
I saw you do it. I saw you do it.
It happened.
It happened.
No, it was a dream.
It happened right in front of my eyes.
Eyes.
It was a dream sequence.
I've seen Pembroke use...
It was a dream sequence.
I've seen Pembroke use Shadow Step before. He saved me from a Burning Man.
Yes, I can make myself invisible.
Oh.
And
bypass the grate altogether.
What if we used your Dimension Step to put all four of us in the room right above us like that?
Yeah, oh, well, yes, that's an option.
Ready
too.
To fight, ready to take down whatever it is.
Easy, Dalgrith.
I'm sorry, I'm getting very excited.
I think we should get reconnaissance first. Feyraza, please.
Unfortunately, I did not prepare insect spies because the GM hates it.
Who is the GM?
Which was wise. Which was wise.
The gods hate
it. But that shall not stop me. And Farazza will wild shape into a fly.
Ooh,
oh. Child. Things are getting easier.
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'll fly up through the grate, kind of land on top of the grate, get a...
Invisible, or...?
Not a fly.
Oh, as a fly.
Yeah, like an insect.
And you get full vision.
I think so.
Yeah.
He gets like 256 times vision with fly eyes.
Okay. He's got compound eyes.
He can see in every direction.
All right, so you're going to turn into a fly, wild shape into a fly, and fly up through the grate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And kind of like land on the grate. I'm not going to be crazy.
Okay.
And just kind of take a look, see where we are.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He's wielding a +5 fly swatter.
Oh, I know it. He's got a little electric zapper in the corner.
All that flashback for nothing.
Oh, man. So, what a way to go.
Turn to a fly, and you fly up and land on the grate. In front of you is looks like a table, maybe a slab, and to the left and the right of you, two more of these tables. You can't quite tell because it's really high up and you're on the ground. You hear a bubbling now that you're in the room, surrounding you on all sides. And again, that. Everything is giant-sized in the room, so you can't see, like, over these tables from where you're laying on the grave.
Son of a bitch. Alright.
And a laser blast
destroys Vape Rises for
us. What is a button you press that plays every sound at once? Like, this is like the 10th like time it's happened.
All these things are like hotkeyed, I guess, so when I'm in the search thing, if I don't hit it right.
Oh my God.
A laser blast vaporizes a circus.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, we'll do.
So to stop it, you just need to wait to see a cursor in the search box and then type. But oh,
believe me, I thought that I was there, Grant. I really did.
The waveform on the recording just exploded.
Skid's thing went off crazy the other day, too. That was pretty fun.
All right.
Skid really liked it.
I will cautiously fly up into the air a little bit so I can see above the slab.
So you just kind of keep flying up, just... up.
I'll roll stealth.
Stealth fly.
Stealth fly.
It's like +90. You just float, and I imagine you can see this slab in front of you, and you're getting higher and higher, and as you're getting higher, you can sense that sound of writing is coming from the other side of this slab in front of you, and so you just float up and up and up, and you see a robed figure, giant-sized, with its head down, robe over its head like a cowl, just writing something, and it stops and looks up.
Oh, come on with this.
And we'll see you next
time.
Oh,
shit!
Oh, shit!
Fly, you fool!
Fly, you fool!
Fly,
you fool!
Fly, you fool!
The Glass Cannon Podcast is a Glass Cannon Network production and is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Giant Slayer is copyright 2015. Giant Slayer and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.